Blog Talk Radio.
Why do I use ParkWiz? Because I like knowing I won't need to search for parking and then overpay when I find it. ParkWiz makes it easy to book a space right where I need it at up to 50% off regular rates. Get the app and start parking awesome with ParkWiz.
Blog Talk Radio.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. Oh, you know we got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Oh, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. And you know, we got to find a way, oh, to bring some loving here today. Picket lines, and there's picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Hey, talk to me so you can see. Oh, I'm going on. I want to know what's going on. And
that is the question. what's going on? What's going on? I'm sure many of you are wondering about right now that question. What's going on? Well, first of all, you've come to the right place at the right time. And my name is Darryl Clark, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so, bringing you news and information that's gathered from around the world, typically within these continental United States, but occasionally we do cross the seas and the borders beyond to bring you that news and information that you will not hear on mainstream. Today, as always, I'm proud to say, we have another, I want to say, riveting program that is designed to, of course, encourage you and empower you and inspire you and hopefully to instill you to get involved and make a difference. For those of you who are not on the mail list, you'll want to send me an email to Darryl, that's D-A-R-R-Y-L, _ CLA18 at msn.com, and we'll be sure to get you added to the mail list, and you can find out what's going on Progressive News Weekly, and you can find out in advance of the program. And you would therefore know, for example, who our special guest is this evening. This evening, I'd be remiss if I didn't apologize. Another technical glitch going on this evening, but not to be deterred. We will go full swing and provide to you what we had planned, which, as I said, is one you'll want to hold on to your seats, buckle the seat belts, because it's truly going to be one that is going to spark your energies, I believe, because it's news that you truly can use, as we're so proud to say here on Progressive News Weekly. Our guest is one who's been with us time and time again. And whenever she's on, she's met with rave reviews, I'm proud to say. And tonight will be no exception. I'm very comfortable saying. And so, as our bumper tune alluded to, the question, what's going on? Well, this evening, you're going to find a lot about what's going on. If you are listening to us through the archives, which I know a number of you do, and many, if not most, actually tuned in on the live program as well and are coming back to sort of catch something that maybe you might have missed, I encourage you to share this specific program with others. I like to say, no more secret agents. In fact, we lost one of our secret agents in the film world this week, Roger Moore. And many who know me personally know that I'd be very honest with you, I'm a James Bond fan from way back. But I will say, with regard to Progressive News Weekly, we don't have any time for secret agents. So don't be a secret agent. Share Progressive News Weekly and share it widely. So as I was saying to you this evening, I'm so pleased to be able to present to you two guests. Our primary guest, if you received the email, will be Miss Eula Pasternak. And as I said, I'm really thrilled about this program because Eula and I go back so many years, and we met on the battlefront, so to speak, in terms of fighting for people's rights. And we haven't looked back since. And it's just been a synergy like I can't even put words into. Like minds came together. And we're going to have a triage this evening, in that you're going to have a special treat with the tag teaming of Mr. Tony Grant, who's been on our program many times as well. And he'll be pitching in, so to speak, on this conversation as a research specialist and journalist. So this is going to be good. The topic at hand, that which you and I cannot do without, and that is the food we eat, the environment in which we live in. And we're going to delve down a little bit into this conversation. And as I said moments ago, we're not going to shortchange this. This isn't mainstream media. This isn't a scenario where you hear something on the 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 4 o'clock or 11 o'clock news and you get 3 minutes of something that's direly important. And just when you're starting to get interested and realize how critically important it is, they go to some egregious thing that is basically promoting some sickness or perversion and spend 15 minutes on it. So should we get towards the top of the hour, this very special panel that we have tonight, if I'm able to bring them back together, I believe I will be, we may do a series on this conversation because it's critically important. And there's so many caveats to it. And this will give you an opportunity to share with your family and loved ones who just may not have been able to catch this particular program. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you Ms. Eula Pasternak, food specialist, wellness, human energy expert, humanitarian. I can go on and on about Eula's accolades. And then we'll be joined shortly thereafter by Mr. Tony Grant. And so, Eula, what a pleasure having you back on Progressive News. I know you've been traveling the country and still traveling, if I'm not mistaken.
Hello, Daryl. Yes. Good to be on the show again. Thank you.
Yes, yes. You know, I mentioned the fact that, you know, we met sort of on the forefront of the battleground of human rights and fighting for wellness of humankind. And I'll never forget that day in Philadelphia. And we haven't turned back yet, and we've still been fighting the fight. And we've been making some inroads, Eula. We have to, you know, give ourselves a little pat there. Not that we're solely responsible, because there's so many hundreds of thousands who have participated, many of whom are, I'm sure, listening on the phone right or in their computers right now. But we have made some inroads to this battle for health and wellness. You are recognized widely in so many fronts, one of which, of course, is the front of GMO specialization, you know, recognized nationally for the work and research that you've done in that area, also as a human energy expert as well, and a humanitarian. But today I'd like to focus a little bit more on the food aspect of your specialization and area of focus. And specifically, I want to start off talking about a GMO, what is also known as genetically modified food. And I'm so pleased after these 9 years to be able to say that we do have new listeners just about every week. I would therefore ask that you share with us, just generally at a high level, what genetically modified food is, what that means for those of who are new in that arena.
Okay. Well, poetically, we met actually in front of Independence Hall and the Constitution Center in
That's
Philadelphia.
True.
So,
what was that event, if you can recap that?
We met on the day where we had a march against Monsanto many years ago. And we were trying to bring in awareness to the public about the existence, not to even mention the dangers of GMOs, genetically modified organisms, in our food, in our home cleaning products, in our cosmetics, in our animal feed, in gardening products. So we have an anniversary, so to speak, because we just had a march against Monsanto on the 18th of May again. So many years of activism, many years of educating ourselves, the public, about not only what GMOs are, but also what function the biotech companies are trying to force us to believe that about safety, about effectiveness, and the whole biotech industry, unfortunately, has been a series of greed over safety, health, or good science based on lies and collusions between FDA, our Food and Drug Administration Office, EPA, our Environmental Protection Agency, and our government, because we have pretty much a revolving door with those, and U.S. Supreme Court appointees who either worked for Monsanto, a biotech company, the largest, and we call it the most evil GMO company in the world, and the government posts, including the head of FDA, Michael Pollan, Clarence Thomas worked for, Hillary Clinton worked for, represented Monsanto. So it is, unfortunately, a bad, as I call it, bad trinity: greed, lies, and collusions on all fronts.
I like that. A trinity.
And the next,
what was
one,
that greed, lies, and what? What was the third one?
Oh, our lately, our popular word, collusions.
Ooh.
Oh. Uh-oh. Yay.
Yes. The good one.
Well, as sad as it is, we need to approach it with a healthy dose of discernment, because
yeah,
our health, wealth depends on it. Our our sustenance, our way of living depends on it. So yes, it is a very serious, not just business, but a very serious business of survival, of keeping healthy, and not just protecting environment, but protecting our future generations from irreversible contamination to genetic makeup of plants and animals, and who knows, maybe humans too. So GMOs represent organisms that have been genetically engineered either through modifying the DNA sequence or the RNA sequence by either inserting a gene or removing a gene or part of a sequence. And the lies were based on lack of presenting safety studies or independent science, or actually believe scientists who were warning about the dangers of this technology, including FDA scientists, including EPA scientists, including scientists at universities, or scientists at various medical agricultural organizations that have been warning us since pretty much 1992 when GMOs were approved to be released into the food supply. And it is about basically, three characteristics of GMOs. The first one being how the process of making them produces unpredictable, dangerous side effects, including interfering with protein and metabolism and enzyme and nutritional absorption and metabolism. I mean, it's a whole slew of interfering with DNA in the organism that is being produced, because the different gene expression is just unavoidable, and therefore the consequences of that are unpredictable and detrimental, not just to the organism, but also to every one, plants, animals, and humans that interrelate with it by ingesting it or using it on a skin or drinking it by default because it's in a water supply or soil or air. Another aspect of GMOs is that there is a toxin inside of that genetic makeup, and that definitely influences the health of other organisms, because that toxin is intended to interrupt something. Toxic means kill something. And the third part is just being affected by the presence or residues of herbicides or pesticides. I believe that many members of our listening audience or even the public are familiar with the word Roundup. It is an herbicide based on glyphosate, and it is present in 75% of our waters, very much in soil. So we also found out it is being sprayed on food after harvest, on like grains after harvest to help them be preserved longer. So we get exposure to this chemical without even eating genetically modified food. So those are the three dangers, that characteristics of GMOs that we deal with.
Can you just recap dangers in summary?
Okay. Sure.
One, go ahead.
First one is the process of making genetically modified organism has many unpredictable side effects. So it's not precise the way the biotech companies are telling us. Oh, it's very precise, it's very scientific, it's done in laboratory. No. In one of the studies in, I think, late 2016, we had examples of 200 different proteins and metabolites in different arrangements, in different levels, in one corn, GMO corn seed. So it's hugely inaccurate and unpredictable, leading to allergic reactions, cancer, unpredictable health damage, huge interruption in our metabolism. So second one, like for example in the corn, there is called what's called BT toxin from bacteria in the soil. And that, again, was used as a lie to approve GMO corn, because if it's from nature, well, we don't have to study it. Well, yes, we do. Because that toxin that is meant to make holes in intestines of insects. It is a toxin for insects. So some of the insects that are on the plants, that are GMO plants, are supposed to die by eating them. Well, that toxin also kills our good bacteria in our gut. And it doesn't do anything to the nasty ones like E. coli or salmonella or botulism. So we make holes in our gut and possibly create leaky gut syndrome, leading to incredible list of possible diseases or illnesses from that. And the third one is the effect that the prevalent herbicide called Roundup has on our health, because it chelates minerals and interrupts our metabolism and interrupts our absorption of minerals that are crucial to not just health, but specifically to some pathways of making building blocks for hormones, for neurotransmitters. So it is very, I even lack words. It's not just detrimental. It is very toxic, very prevalent, very dangerous, and very corrupt, from economic to scientific to overall, not just political, but educational history of what GMOs represent and the lies that have been shrouding their release and continued battlefield through trade agreements to force countries to accept GMOs based on fair trade, based on World Bank loans, based on political agreements, like Canada is pretty much locked into U.S. government when it comes to approval or well, they haven't banned GMOs, but once they did not approve the growth, bovine growth hormone, so the drug could not be sold, but the food produced still made its way to the shelves of the stores. So those were pretty much the, kind of like the nuggets of the GMO history that have unfortunately penetrated not just our food supply, but also agriculture, the way we produce food, the way we harvest food, and also not just economic disasters, but also disasters in nature, because once that genetic altered genome is released, it cannot be removed. It just stays there.
Explain that, please. When you say it's once it's released, it can't be removed. Elaborate on that.
Well, once we release modified genes into the environment, even if they promise that they have a terminator gene so that seed cannot reproduce itself, once we have genetic contamination, we cannot remove it. In fact, we have now a slew of regulations what is allowable tolerance of contamination for unapproved varieties. We don't even go to what is approved contamination for the approved varieties that were released into nature. It is idiotic. I mean, it is hard to believe that we can be so naive or so blind or deaf to the manipulation of the greed of the chemical companies. Because it is all about chemical companies making sure that someone or everyone buys their chemicals. Chemicals that kill, and chemicals that poison, and chemicals that hurt us, hurt the environment.
Yola, let's delve a little bit deeper. We're going to put our boots on right now. We're not our waders. No, we're not going thigh high. Just our ankle boots. We're going to step into this a little bit deeper here. You said you can't imagine how some person or entity in terms of a company could do this. These companies, you know, they have to breathe and live and eat as well. Do you suspect, and Tony, I want to come to you shortly, do you suspect that they're ingesting these things, or do you think they are so egregious that they are, in other words, it's like the drug dealer that doesn't do drugs? Those are the worst ones of all, you know, because they consciously are causing harm, where you have those that are just sort of reckless and believe what they're doing is it's
all right,
if we're going anyway, might as well go out with a bang. What's your personal thought on that, on these individuals and entities?
Well,
I feel for the scientists, because once they find out how dangerous things are, they want to make them public. But they're discredited, lose their jobs, or some of them actually are killed. So I have absolutely no sympathy or empathy for any of these companies, because they have been pure greed and pure manipulation.
So do you think that, for example, let's just throw one out, because truly Monsanto is not the only company. They may be leading the way, maybe. We don't know what closet companies are out there for sure, but we do know Monsanto is one of them. Cargill, I mean, there are other companies. But
Cargill, Dow, Bayer, yes. Monsanto,
yes.
And Bayer want to merge, so
it's a huge.
That would make,
people need to know about Bayer. That's another topic, perhaps with another panel on another day, that folks need to understand Bayer. You know, that same folks who produce those children one a day aspirin that your doctor tells you about, they're doing a whole lot of things that you may not realize. But anyway, do you think the heads of these companies have their families eating GMO, drinking GMO? I mean, how do you think they approach that? Or are they, you know, just completely brainwashed to say these things do help with society in terms of feeding, you know, impoverished countries and the other blatant misrepresentations that they present? What is your thought?
No, they do not. No, I doubt very much. I mean, we know from insiders that they do not eat what they produce. They have organic cafeterias in their research facilities. And in fact, some of the activists dared some of the executives to drink the chemicals that they claim are safe. Well, they refused. Glyphosate, the Roundup, is 2 years ago has been named Class 2 carcinogen. So there is nothing safe about the chemicals that they use or the technology that they have to have for the chemicals to be applied. So, no, they are hypocrites and bullies, pretty much.
Oh, that's absolutely horrible. Listen, to our listeners, if you want to join in this conversation, participate anyway, or ask a question of our specialist, the number to dial would be 347-838-9142. And we're talking with Euler Pasternak, who truly is recognized nationally for her acumen and knowledge on this subject matter, and it's opportunity to have such a wealth of knowledge with us. She is talking about genetically modified food, some of the dangers, some of the sources of it, and some of the indirect effects of the genetically modified food. We're going to talk about some of the things we can do to make a difference a little bit later. But again, the number is 347-838-9142. If you'd like to participate in any way in this dialogue, Eula, I know we have Mr. Tony Grant on the line with us, who is truly one who speaks truth to power. And like yourself, he's been around for many years. In fact, he's been a broadcast journalist for over 40 years, specializing in medical research, and he's done much research on foods, and in fact, he was co-author of a book, Immune Power Program and the Statin Damage Report. I know he probably has something he'd like to share from his perspective on this, because he's done much research on various topics, including preserving our food sources and protecting our environment. Tony, are you with us here in our studio? And would you please give us your perspective of this?
Yes, Tony. I'm sorry, Dale, can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're fine. You're coming along loud
okay.
and clear.
I want to thank you, Dale, for this opportunity to join in and to be able to hear this really enlightening discussion offered to us by Ms. Pasternak. And I just want to offer what little bit I can offer. We all know that everything we've heard so far has been accurate and correct, and also presented in a very genteel manner. It could be on broadcast television, but we really know that in the context of what we're talking about, that these people are criminals. Monsanto, Syngenta, Dow, Tenneco, these people are gangsters. They're criminals. And you're right. They don't mind hurting us, but they don't want to hurt themselves. Now, we know also that the heat has been so much on Monsanto over the years that they've been purchased by Bayer. So instead of March against Monsanto, next year it might have to be a battle against Bayer. So we don't want folks to lose sight of what's going on just because they try to change clothing on us. And I want to add just a little bit. This is something I'm sure that Ms. Pasternak could have done. But on May 15, 1987, I'm offering to kind of go back to the original crime that made possible for us to be besieged with these poisons. These are poisons. We're being poisoned. And on May 15, 1987, Monsanto executives conducted a tour of their biotech development laboratory for George Bush. I'm talking about Pappy Bush, not Boy George Bush. And Pappy Bush was then vice president. And the reason they did this is because they needed his help. You see, what they had done is they had done their market research. They paid the money to ask, how are we going to market these Frankenstein products to people? And the word they got back was, you can't. Nobody's going to buy this garbage. Anybody who knows you got genetically modified food, they are not going to buy it. And that's when they came up with the idea, well, we can't label it then. We must disguise it by not labeling it. And so they had to have the hand of some government corruption to, as Ms. Pasternak has already said, get around the normal scientific tests that would have shown us that this stuff is deadly. They had to get around that. And then they also had to get around the requirement that you label something as Frankensteinish, as something that has genes from four different organisms or two different organisms. So they hired Pappy Bush, and he was impressed. I think you can even find footage of him being taken around the facility on YouTube. And when they contacted him later, saying, you know, we may need your help, he said, call me. We are in, this is a quote from Pappy Bush, call me, we're in the deregulation business. So I want to offer that and only a couple of more things in the brief time that we have. The research later was done by Arpad Pusztai. This is someone, the research is famous, I'm sure. Ms. Pasternak knows all about it. But in August 1998, Pusztai, who was a venerated, well-respected scientist at the Rowett Research Institute, was asked to do some testing on transgenic foods, GMO foods, using mice. And so he was given a transgenic potato, and he fed it to the mice. Now, rapidly, as the mice reproduced, it became immediately obvious that these potatoes were unsafe. All of the mice suffered damaged immune systems, stunted growth, damage to the brain, and damage to their liver and other organs. And so Pusztai, having fed the rats with these genetically contaminated substances, made a statement. And when he announced his research, that we have been assured, he said, that this is absolutely safe, what we've done to these foods, and that no harm can come to us from eating this genetically contaminated food. But, he said, if you gave me the choice now, I would never eat it. He said this on TV. Forgive me. And then it was off to the races. They ruined his career. They accused him of false research. They did everything they could to make it seem like somehow he was wrong and their product was okay. So, all I want to say is that, forgive me, that the whole thing has been a fraud from the very beginning. The whole thing has been a trick to get people to take this genetically contaminated substances and make us think it's okay. And when we as Americans look back on these kinds of situations and say, well, where was the FDA? Where were the people who protect us? Where were our scientists? It's already been mentioned by Ms. Pasternak that there are people, powerful people in government, forgive me, who were also working for Monsanto. I think Clarence Thomas, who is now a Supreme Court justice, his name was mentioned. Well, he was a Monsanto attorney. And I'll quickly go down the list. Marcia Hale, she worked as the Director of Governmental Affairs under President Clinton. Well, she was formerly, or before that, the Director of International Government Affairs for Monsanto. David Beer, he worked as a Chief Domestic Policy Advisor to Vice President Gore. Well, he was really a Monsanto agent. He had been head of government affairs, forgive me, I misspoke. He worked for Genentech, one of the other genetically contaminated product makers. Then Michael Friedman, who was commissioner of the FDA, he was a senior VP for clinical affairs at Cyril. Cyril was later bought by Monsanto. And we can go down the list. Arthur Hull Hayes, who also had a stint as commissioner of the FDA, he was public relations consultant for Cyril. And I'll skip to maybe the juicy ones. Michael Taylor's already been mentioned. Does anyone know about Donald Rumsfeld? He was chief executive officer of Cyril, which became part of Monsanto. And, of course, we all know that he was the horrific United States Secretary of Defense during his time. And this list goes on. Hillary Clinton, Monsanto legal counsel at the Rose Law Firm. I don't see any immediately recognizable names on the list, but I have a list of 30 high-level U.S. government employees who were Monsanto agents. They worked for Monsanto, and then they went into the government to do their dirty work. And so when people ask me, well, how did this happen? How do we get to the point where we have this going on, and our food chain is being contaminated? Our children are thinking that the potatoes are okay, the corn, the squash, the sugar beets, all the things that are being used to poison us. Moms and their children think it's okay, but we're being poisoned because a group of criminals, these are gangsters, have put it upon themselves to supplant or replace our natural, forgive me, God-given food with poison that they make.
These are the same people, as Ms. Pasternak has stated, they themselves, in many cases, and she's mentioned that they've done some, sort of covert investigation, won't go near this dangerous substances. And I think that makes it even just more hateful and ugly and nasty when you consider that aspect of it. So those terms that you use, if there are those that are thinking, wow, those are some strong terms, gangsters, and we probably are being maybe on the nicer side when you consider that. The research is there. How often, for those of you who want to question this, and one thing we at Progressive News Weekly, we encourage, do your homework. Do your homework. We don't have programs here where we don't provide some means of you doing your own research. But just from a common sense perspective, how often do you hear this type of information on mainstream media? Now, these are individuals and entities that have billions, that's with a B as in bridge, approaching trillions of dollars to spend on research, unlike us folks down the chain, which may have tens of dollars or hundreds of dollars collectively as an organization to do some of this research. They have billions, but yet no one has taken it upon themselves to do a news magazine special just on this topic. And, oh, yes, from time to time you'll see some things, especially on satellite, perhaps, maybe on cable. But your mainstream aren't touching this. Doesn't that make you want to go, as my homeboy Arsenio used to say, makes you go, there's something wrong with that. Let me do a little research. We used to call ourselves back when I started on the program 7 or 8 years ago, mouse warriors, because at the time, everyone, had a mouse to go with their computers. We basically had desktops. Now everybody has a tablet or a phone, which is basically your computer, or, of course, your laptop. So we can't really call ourselves mouse warriors. We'll just call ourselves mouse pad warriors because everybody's kind of swiping the mouse pad on the computer right now. But get on there and just kind of swipe around and do some homework from what you're hearing from these astute individuals who are truly speaking truth to power. I want to ask, start with you, Ms. Pasternak Yula. You mentioned Monsanto, and of course Tony brought in Monsanto, and you spoke about Roundup. Speak a little bit more about that link, and I really love the way you broke it down. We were talking about trinities earlier, and you talked about the three dangers, you know, the process of making the GM, the process of making GMO, what effects it has, and the destruction of the genome system, and the effects of Roundup. That third one, I don't know if folks really link that, because, you know, this is spring when Roundup is significantly popular, becoming popular. People are going out to Home Depot and Lowe's and the other DIY places and getting their Roundup and Spectracide and Bayer products to squirt into the plants around their homes and gardens and like to destroy weeds. But what does that have to do with GMO? Give us a link, if you would, Yula, to where Roundup.
Well, first, Roundup was patented as a what's called a chelator to be used industrially to clean boilers and pipes, like in factories. So then it was patented as herbicide and antibiotic. So as a chelator, it binds itself to minerals so they can be pulled out. So that's where the collusion comes in, because Monsanto and EPA decided that we don't need science to prove that is safe for human consumption, that any residue is okay. Well, we had a very interesting studies. We actually have more studies on Roundup and glyphosate than we have on GMOs, which is a miracle in itself. So as a carcinogen and antibiotic, it is meant to kill the bacteria in the gut. And because it creates that imbalance in our gut, it kills the good, so the bad bacteria can multiply. We have sort of a technical name for it called dysbiosis, imbalance of the gut bacteria. So in itself, it creates a weakness in our single cell wall of our intestines and suppresses the digestion, suppresses digestive enzymes, disrupts hormone production, which it's, we also have a name called teratogen, which is leading to birth defects in children, not to mention animals. So by creating that chelation of trace minerals, which are essential for our health, for proper metabolism, it creates a slew of health challenges for us. And originally, the scientists for Monsanto or biotech companies tried to present an argument that it only works for plants, it only works for insects, it only works for this, that, and whatever, but not for humans. For example, there is such a name called shikimate pathway in plants. So if we're not, that produces bacteria used to produce things, and we're not plants, so humans are not going to be affected. Might as well release it, and we don't need any studies. But it turns out that our bacteria use that shikimate pathway to produce building blocks for our neurotransmitters. And that is very important, because that building block is needed to produce serotonin, melatonin, dopamine. And how many illnesses or diseases showed up that are based on inefficient production or disruption of production of these hormones and neurotransmitters? So it is very, very important to understand how using Roundup or eating foods that may have residue of Roundup, how detrimental it is to our digestion, to our metabolism, to our hormone production, to our neurotransmitter building. It is affecting our blood. It is affecting our brain function. I can go on and on, because by now, fortunately, we have independent science that first in animals and now some in humans. It relates GMOs and Roundup in combination with each other or by themselves, and how it harms our health and creates immune issues, digestive issues, elimination issues, leading to diseases like cancer or Parkinson's or heart disease or diabetes, autoimmune diseases, Alzheimer's, autism, allergies. I mean, there's a huge list of diseases that risen in the U.S. because of the increased use of Roundup.
Let me, we have a few moments left before the top of the hour. Again, to our listeners, it's 347-838-9142. If you dial that particular number to listen to this program, by pressing 1, you'll indicate to our engineer that you'd like to have a comment or a question regarding the subject matter. So you just press 1 on the dial. As I hear you talk more about the effects of the Roundup, related to GMO, it seems very obvious that if you're eating a product that has been sprayed with an herbicide, that's an obvious potential, if not probable, road towards a carcinogenous effect. Carcinogenous being linked to cancer, that C word. Now, backing that up a little bit to the GMO as it relates to the Roundup, it is my understanding that these seeds, now this is aside from the effect of the